Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
Back to the book of Ecclesiastes. We are returning today to chapter 3, which we entered yesterday and will continue today. But first, for those who are not regular listeners, I do a brief summary, and this is a repetition. But I remind you that the book of Ecclesiastes was written by Solomon, King Solomon, to investigate the meaning of life and to explore the various elements of life to discover their value, what is actually able to contribute something meaningful to our lives. And so he explored the areas of wealth and the things that money can buy. He explored the area of sensual pleasures, such as wine and food and art and music and sex, to see what they could achieve. He explored the area of intellectual pursuits, wisdom and knowledge. He explored the area of labor and the satisfaction and accomplishments which it produces. And all of that to answer the question, can any of these produce lasting fulfillment in life? And the answer is yes and no. And no, if they are pursued apart from God, but yes, if God is first and everything else is subordinated to Him and to His will. And that's it. I wish we could shout that from the housetops. All these things that people are pursuing to find satisfaction in life are going to come up short. They are empty. They are fruitless. They are without any possibility of achieving what people think they're going to get out of them if God is not first and center in your life. And when He is, then all of these things in their proper place, in the place that God has assigned for them, in the place that God has designed for them in our lives, will bring some measure of satisfaction in life because God has so designed it. But when God is not first, when He's not the center of our lives, when He's not first priority in our lives, then none of those things can bring anything but the most fleeting pleasure. It doesn't last long. It will come up short. It will turn out to be empty every single time. That's the conclusion of chapter 2, and it gets us launched again into chapter 3. Thank you for joining me on this Thursday, July 23rd, and thank you for keeping in mind that we can only pursue this Bible teaching ministry with your financial help. Now, as I told you yesterday, chapter 3 basically has two messages. Number one, you need to understand the appointments of life. And number two, you need to live in the light of eternity. And the first one, you need to understand the appointments of life. And it begins with that poem, that well-known poem, that is designed to show us that God appoints the circumstances of our lives. And then, following that, there's a shorter section that makes it clear that God also appoints the perplexities of our lives. And we'll get to that one in a moment. But we come back now to this one where God appoints the circumstances of life. And here is this pretty well-known poem, probably the best-known section in all the book of Ecclesiastes, that contains 14 couplets over the space of 8 verses, and repeats the word time a total of 28 times in these 8 verses. and is often looked at as a piece of wisdom. If you'll understand the wisdom of this, you'll get along better in life, and there's a certain measure of truth in that, but that's not really the point of this section. What this section is teaching us is that all of these things represent God's sovereign appointments in our lives. There is an appointed time for everything. There is a time to be born, and there is a time to die. Who sets that time? God does. Not me, not you, but God. There's an appointed time for everything because of God's sovereign appointments. Our times are truly in God's hands. And so, back to the poem quickly for a moment. A time to be born and a time to die. God sets those times. A time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted. I talked about that yesterday. God is what is the one who sets the seasons and therefore the proper time, the optimal time for planting and for harvesting. It has to do with the seasons that God has sovereignly appointed in this world. A time to kill and a time to heal. If we look at that in terms of warfare, and I can't think of any other God-honoring way to say there's an appointed time to kill, but in warfare, there is an appointed time. It's interesting in some of the Psalms how that David praised God for teaching him how to use weapons of warfare and to defeat his enemies, and that involved killing in some cases. And when we come to a time like that in our lives, in our country, in our nation, and we'd all prefer that such a time would never come, but in my lifetime, I have lived through, I've lost track of how many wars that the United States has been involved in, and every one of them involved killing. And whether they were wise wars, justified wars or not, is another question for another day. But this much is clear. The reason we got involved in the Korean War, that's the first one that I can remember, and only a little bit. I was a boy, a young boy at that time, but I can remember it faintly, and I can certainly remember people talking about it for many years afterwards. And the reason we got involved in the Vietnam War, and that one is much more clear in my mind because I was, though still a young man, I was not a little boy at that time. I was a teenager, and I can remember that war very, very clearly. And on it goes. We can go through the other ones, the ones in the Middle East and so forth that we've been involved in. And every one of them involved killing and death. Some of our soldiers died in every one of these. Other people died in every one of these. And why did we get involved in these? Well, we can look at it from a political standpoint. It was because of this and that, because of this mistake and that mistake, because of this circumstance and that circumstance, because this country did this and that country did that. There's a lot of historical facts and reasons that can be analyzed and can be debated, and they will be debated endlessly, but let's just cut to the chase, so to speak. Why were we involved in those wars? Because God ordained it. That's why. And when he ordained it, those became times to kill. And so there's a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up. Now, that's a rather general statement, and it can apply to a lot of different things. But I think of the words of which prophet was it? It was Isaiah, that God gave him a commission and told him that his job was going to be to pluck down, to tear down, to root up, and to destroy, so that later there could be a rebuilding. But it's spoken in a spiritual framework because of the apostasy of Israel and because of how far they had strayed from God. There couldn't be a quick, simple, easy fix. There had to be some real serious work done. There had to be tearing down of a lot of apostate elements in Jewish society, and all of that rubble cleared away before the proper elements could be rebuilt. they had been so corrupted over the years. And there is, therefore, a time to break down and a time to build up, but God has sovereignly appointed those times, a time to weep and a time to laugh. Why do I have this great sorrow in my life? Because God appointed it. We have to understand that. Why do I have this great joy in my life? Because God, in His kindness, appointed that. When I think of a time to weep, I think, of course, of times of great loss. It might be death, it might be severe illness, it might be economic calamity, anything that will cause weeping. Well, those things ultimately can be traced back to God. He takes full responsibility. He claims authorship for all of these things, and so He's the one who appoints the time to weep. But when I think about the time to laugh, I think about times of joy, the birth of a child or a grandchild, the marriage of a son or a daughter to someone that we are happy to see that marriage. My wife and I have been so blessed to see all four of our daughters married to good men, men who are following the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a joy that is. And the joy actually wasn't just assigned to the day of the wedding. In fact, though that was a good time for many of them, and every circumstance was different. But the real joy is when you see that what you hoped to be true turns out to be true. You think that your daughter is marrying a Christian man, but we do know examples of other people who've thought the same thing and only found out to their sorrow that proved not to be the case. And so it takes some time to see. Are they really going to prove to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, committed to Him, committed to church, committed to rearing their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? And when the answer is yes, and that yes is reinforced year after year after year, it just brings greater and greater, greater joy. It's a time to laugh. It's a time to rejoice. But who's the author of that? That's because God, in His sovereign mercy, appointed that. And we trace it back to Him. And so far, right on through all of these couplets, a time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones, a time to embrace, a time to restrain from embracing, a time to gain, a time to lose, a time to keep, a time to throw away, a time to tear, a time to sow, a time to keep silence, a time to speak, a time to love, a time to hate, a time of war, a time of peace. Now, many of these statements are quite general, and you can legitimately put a lot of different events into them that will fit that brief general statement. But again, no matter what the details are, if you understand what the Scripture teaches about the sovereignty of God, that everything that happens in our lives, or in the lives of others, our loved ones, or anyone for that matter, in the lives of our nation, all that happens is because of God's sovereign appointments. He's the one who determined that that would happen at that time in our lives. He has a purpose. He has a wise purpose for His children. It's always a gracious purpose, whether we can see that immediately or not, but we can know that from Scripture. And therefore, the thing to learn from this poem is that God appoints the circumstances of our lives. The quicker we learn that, the quicker we understand that, the quicker we submit to that, the better off we're going to be. Because that's the truth. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.